Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Cynthia.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Lovely. Great to have you here on the show. I do hope that you have had a fantastic day.
I've had a fantastic day, and thank you for having me today.
Lovely, lovely. You know, climate change, together with other natural and human-made stressors, influences human health and disease in numerous ways. Now, some existing health threats will intensify and new health threats will emerge. Now, you're going to be helping us to basically understand this and shed some more light on the subject. And by the way, those who are just tuning in, Cynthia Moore is the climate and energy campaigner, and she's based at Greenpeace Africa, and she's going to be talking to us at this moment. Now, Cynthia, what are some of the most immediate health risks associated with climate change?
Thank you so much for the question. Maybe let me first highlight that climate crisis is a health crisis. Mm. I think we understand that the climate emergency is already causing devastating health impacts across Africa.
Yeah.
And your question on the immediate health risks associated with climate change.
Mm.
So we have, you know, things like your heat-related illness. We know that, you know, the change causes this extreme temperatures that cause stress, cause heat stroke, and
Ooh.
Your cardiovascular complications.
Cynthia, you keep cutting me, and I do apologize for that. If it's possible at all, if you could just move around a bit, because we really, really want to hear what you are saying to us. And now I think the network keeps on distracting. I'm not sure if you could just move around, change position a bit.
Okay, let me try that.
All right, it is 13 after the hour, 5 o'clock, and you're listening to the Adventist World Radio. This is the Maranatha Drive. Our guest on the line is Cynthia Moyo, who is an energy campaigner at Greenpeace Africa. Cynthia, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Sounds better. All right. Yes, please go ahead. You were talking about heat strokes?
Oh, yes. So you had asked about the immediate health risks that are associated with climate change.
Yes, yes.
And I was saying that I just want to first highlight how much, you know, climate crisis is also a health crisis. We need to understand that, you know, Africa bears an undue burden. The continent that really contributes minimally to global emissions, you know, it faces the severe impacts with some of our African countries losing from 2 to 5% of GDP to climate change. I really don't want to, you know, barrage you with the whole geopolitics and the geoeconomics, but dive straight into the immediate health risk that you asked.
Okay, right.
So we were talking about related illnesses. We have the water-related diseases.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the respiratory impacts.
Mm.
We understand that, you know, with climate change, there comes the extreme temperatures, such as you know, the heat stress that cause the heat stroke. We also have this cardiovascular complications that we have,
mm-hmm.
particularly in the areas that have the heat island. And then also climate change, we experience a lot of storms that bring in flooding. And the flooding that's there causes or increases the waterborne diseases like your cholera, your typhoid, dysentery, numerous African countries. Can you believe that you know, in 2023 alone, Africa experienced devastating floods that contaminated water sources in multiple regions?
Yeah.
But it's not only that.
Mm-hmm.
We also find these respiratory impacts that are there.
Mm.
The air pollution that comes from the fossil fuels combined with the climate-induced dust, storms, wildfires, the weather, and the respiratory conditions, such as, you know, you bronchitis, also asthma.
Mm.
But one of the health risks that we don't talk about often, you know, is the mental health crisis.
Oh.
There is a lot of climate anxiety, there's a lot of post-traumatic stress that comes from these extreme weather events. You know, the displacement really creates lots of mental health challenges. Yes.
Yeah. Now I just lost that last part because of the network. And you're saying there's a lot of displacements.
Can you hear me now?
You now cut. I'm not sure why is the line now deteriorating, because I last caught you when you were saying there's lots of displacements.
Okay, I was saying that one of the immediate health risks that we don't talk about more often is the mental health crisis.
Yes, yes.
So we have climate anxiety, and with this climate anxiety, we also have the post-traumatic stress.
Yes,
that comes from these extreme weather events and the displacements that happen. You know, when there's floods, people are displaced a lot. People are moved from one place to another.
Yes,
and
yes.
That has a way of mental health crisis.
Now, how does climate change impact the spread of diseases such as malaria and cholera? I suppose it would have to do with also the movement of people.
Definitely, definitely. Maybe let me start with the water-related outbreaks that we have. You know, the recent flooding events tend to trigger cholera in multiple countries, and that overwhelms our health system. You know, with limited resources. You spoke of the displacement. So displacement and diseases, we have what we call climate-induced migration. And this forces people into crowded segments. In these crowded segments, we have poor sanitation, we have poor ventilation, and this creates the perfect condition for, you know, disease.
Yeah, you know, it's actually quite sad, man, and quite unfortunate. Now, in what ways does a food insecurity caused by climate change or climate destabilization affect the overall public health?
That's quite a pertinent question. And, you know, food insecurity, which is caused by climate change, can have profound and really wide effects on public health. But what do I mean by this?
Yeah.
You know, climate change affects food production and food access in many ways. So once food production and access are affected, it means that there is disruption in food supply, in nutritional quality, and also affordability. So the consequences for public health are quite significant and multifaceted.
Now, what would you say the role of individuals and communities would be in mitigating health impacts of climate change?
I always say that with community-based solutions. You know? Let's have local early warning and community health workers, because those two have really proven to be effective in preparing for climate-related health risks. And let's also have the urban greening initiatives. The tree planting campaigns in urban areas have proven to really, you know, reduce heat island effect and also improve our air quality. Let's also look at water harvesting and management.
Yeah.
You know, so community-led rainwater harvesting systems could really help us maintain clean water access during droughts. And maybe let's not also forget agroecological farming. That's supporting sustainable farming practices that builds community resilience to climate shocks, but while also protecting biodiversity. We cannot talk of, you know, individual and community roles without talking of climate advocacy.
Okay.
So communities need to organize and demand, you know, climate justice and stronger climate policies that are essential for systemic change.
Now, how should governments, in your view, and healthcare systems as well, adapt to better address themselves in climate-related health challenges?
So in the previous question, I think I did mention a lot about systemic change.
Yes, yes.
So this is where the government in, you know, we need climate resilience health system.
Mm-hmm.
So governments must really, you know, climate-proof healthcare facilities and develop early warning system that the climate sensitive for diseases. But we also need to push the just energy. African countries need to support, or they need support to leapfrog to renewable energy that's reducing both emissions and also air pollution related health impact.
Mm-hmm.
We need climate finance. Wealthy nations fulfill and exceed their climate finance, you know, commitments to support the adaptation of African countries, that's including our healthcare system and also strengthening. And maybe lastly, it's investment and surveillance. You know, the government needs to make sure that there's investment and surveillance that has disease surveillance systems that incorporate data, making sure that this is essential for early and also risk.
Well, Amasa, thank you so much for coming through, Cynthia, and talking to us about this very important subject, our role as community members, role of governments, and role of organizations as well into making sure that we all play a part with regards to this climate change subject. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. And maybe just wrap it up, let me put it out there that the solutions exist. That's clean, renewable energy, sustainable food systems, and community-led adaptation. But all this require political will and financial support at a scale that is going to match the crisis.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.